Oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to yet another episode of the Monday Morning Fighter Podcast. I am Caster with Evolved MMA News, and you know what? I'm just going to say it again. Welcome back. It has been a long, long time. Very sorry for the wait to all my fans in Britain, because apparently I have two people that watch in Britain. So that's very nice of you guys. But, I was in Thailand living life. I did put out one podcast when I was in Thailand, but that was just when I was in the hotel that I was at the first night I was there. So it really wasn't much of, a podcast. And then for the rest of the trip, I didn't upload at all. I really was not in a position to record with my computer situation, my microphone situation. I had a pretty crappy mic, as you guys could probably hear on that podcast that I put out. I didn't even upload it to YouTube. It was pretty bad. I'll admit that right now. And but also my internet connection situation for most of my trip while I was over there. There were some times when I was staying in huts. There were some times when I was staying with elephants, when I was just sleeping on the bare ground, which was nice, I gotta say. There were also times when I was in hostels and hotels and whatnot where I actually had internet connection. The hostels have really crappy internet connection, and also I shared a room with like 10 other people, so I couldn't exactly record and upload there. So it was a really, it was a crappy situation for recording and for a content creator such as myself. But you know what? We got through it. We got a new monitor, actually, once I got back to the States. I ordered it while I was in Thailand. Just got it recently. Put it together. Looks beautiful. Love an ultra wide. But now, ladies and gentlemen, we are in Oklahoma. This is my official setup. I know you guys can't see it because I'm not recording with my camera. But this is my official setup now. It's going to be permanently Oklahoma, except when I move back to Texas for the summertime, or California for the summertime. I don't know where I'm going to be working or what my internship's going to be, but we'll see, But now that that's over with, let's get back to the nitty-gritty, ladies and gentlemen. What is going on in the mixed martial arts world today? Well, I'll tell you. You know what? I'm glad you asked, Charlie. But all we know, for this week is a little bit of UFC 241, a little bit of Stipe versus DC coming up, and I'll get to that later. But, ladies and gentlemen, first off, we've got a couple things going on in the actual world of MMA besides just a fucking fight card to talk about. Just be boring and be like, oh, I could upload this to YouTube regularly. I don't want to make a podcast about it. But the reason that I really wanted to sit down this morning and make a podcast is that before I wrote the episode, I literally just got done watching the how do I say this? Conor McGregor punching an old man, sucker punching an old man. No less. He sucker punched that motherfucker. What is going on, Connor? What's happening? Buddy, we need to talk about this because it's honestly concerning that stuff like this would happen. Like, what has to be going on in your life that you're gonna sucker punch an old man? I get, I really don't get you punching him, but I get that he didn't want to take a shot with you, and that probably made you angry. And I don't understand. I understand why that would have made you angry, but I don't understand why you would have punched the man, sucker punched him, because he doesn't want to take a shot of your shitty whiskey. To be honest, I like the whiskey because I like any Irish whiskey, no matter how shitty it is, though Jameson is my go-to. But honestly, when a guy doesn't want to take a shot with you, an old man, no less, why are you punching him? Why, Connor? Why? This is like so fucking stupid. Like, you are just throwing your life away with all these allegations that he has. I'm really surprised that he's not pulling ASAP Rocky right now and he's not in a jail somewhere doing something and people are asking for, free Conor McGregor. Oh my God, the stuff that he does is just so fucking stupid. It really all started. I feel like he was in control when he was in the UFC, when he was, in the UFC, and I mean fighting in the UFC, fighting in featherweight. And then he went up to lightweight. Jesus, I forget my. It's been way too long. I forget my own weight divisions. But then he went up to lightweight. He won the title, and then it all happened. He fucked off, and he fought Floyd. And I do believe his downhill started when he moved up to lightweight, and he wouldn't defend the featherweight title. I think we all sort of noticed, but we were like, "Oh, it's Conor. He's still Conor, man." I do believe that while we can look back, you know, hindsight's 20/20 and everything, we can look back and say, ah, that was, you know, that was a downfall right there. I'm still pretty sure a lot of people that were Conor fans at the time that are no longer Conor fans now, such as myself, I will say, I'm still a fan of the guy. You know, I like to watch him fight, but he's just done so much shit. You know, we can look back in hindsight 2020 and say, oh, that was his downfall. That was the start of his downfall. But I think where we really all sort of turned and where it became apparent was that when he started fighting Floyd. When he began the promotion to that Floyd fight, I don't know what he was thinking. He was just being so arrogant and so much of an asshole with his trash talk. It seemed like something was very different with him, in general. Like, his trash talk was fucking hilarious before. Like, you could just... I loved his trash talk before. I would always go back and watch, you know, like, compilations of Conor McGregor. Honestly, go back and watch him yourself. They're fucking hilarious to see him go, oh, honey, bring out the red panties. That's, classics. Classics in the UFC. But once he started fighting Floyd, his trash talk became so, like, derogatory and... I don't want to say negative, because trash talk is inherently negative. Obviously, we all know that. But it just became, like, derogatory and really just bad from a human perspective to have that going on. And I didn't understand what the change was, except that he was trying to sell a fight. And I think that he, with the $100 million that he got, or maybe $70 million or something, I don't remember exactly what the numbers that he got from that fight were, but I do think that changed him. It's like the money changed Antonio Brown. The money changed Conor McGregor. Money inherently changes people, especially when you get a big payday and you're, you know, he is used to getting like $1 and $3 million per fight in the UFC now. I think the latest numbers were up to $6 million or $9 million or something. But he has that, and he has his endorsements, and he makes his money. But the thing is, it definitely changed it. Getting $100 million in one night will change you so much. And I think we can obviously see that with someone like Conor, who probably had some anger issues before. Let's be honest. Probably had some anger issues. And now he punches fucking old men. He punches old men. It's just for refusing to take a shot with him. Also, apparently the guy was talking shit to him, which I would love to see. I would love to just be a fly on the wall in that scenario. Oh, God, man, just imagine rocking an old man with a punch like that. Your life really must be going downhill in some other way. I don't know what's wrong. I hope he gets it right, because when he was right and when he was fighting, there was nothing funner to watch. I'm not going to say that he was the best fighter in the world when he was fighting, because I think, you know, GSP and Khabib, like, they have that distinction right now, and Anderson is still fighting, I guess, but, you know, he was up there as having the best trash talk, some of the funnest fights to watch. He backed up his trash talk, and, you know, he always won up to, like, you know, obviously he lost to Nate, who we'll talk about later, who's going to be on the 241 card, but he always, you know, pretty much backed up his trash talk, and it was fun to see. So I think he's been doing stupid shit lately, obviously, but I really hope he gets his life back together somehow, some way. Man, I don't know. I just, I want to see Conor good again, but I don't know if we can ever see that again. And I think those days in, like, 2014 and everything, when he was really on top of the world, those are some good days in the MMA world. Man, break out the red panties, am I right, boys? All right, let's move on from the Conor situation, because it's honestly sort of depressing talking about all his escapades again and again and again and again and again. I'll probably make a video on it on the YouTube channel another day, just going more in depth and making a more Conor explained video, maybe going over all the events and everything. But let's move on right now to Kat Zingano, the last bastion, what was the last bastion of Mills in the UFC. My God, that was terrible. That was terrible. But she has been let go months. I think it was months. It was in December, I believe. But so months after her controversial TKO loss to Megan Anderson, where she got kicked in the fucking eye. I mean, let's be honest. Oh my God! Like, they didn't even give her time to recover. The ref just called it a TKO. It was really stupid. The way, you know, when you look at when you look back on it and you see, whatchamacallit, you see, I'm losing the words right now, but you see the replays, you see the replays, and you see what the refs were doing, you see what everyone was doing, you see how that kick got her in the eye, and how just Megan Anderson's big toe went into her eye, and they didn't give her, like, you know, the 5 minutes of necessary recovery time that you get after either an eye poke or, an eye poke or a groin shot. She didn't get the 5 necessary minutes. The ref just called it TKO. I forget which ref it was. I'm pretty sure it was Herb Dean, but I can't remember exactly right now. I don't really have any video or anything right here. I'm just looking at my notes right now. I didn't write down the ref. But when you look back on it, it was a shitty loss to have, and it shouldn't have been there. Now, she released a statement after she got released. I'm not going to read it right here. I read it earlier. Look it up if you really want to hear it, you know. But the gist of it is that her release was mutual with the UFC, and she just didn't want to take an ultimatum. I'm pretty sure that it wasn't. You know, maybe she was pissed off at Dana and she just wanted to go fight another organization, but she was in the UFC and everything. And when you look at the context of the situation, to be honest, let's all be honest, to be released after such a controversial, stupid loss is in itself stupid. But she is, admittedly, 1-4 in her last 5 fights. The writing was on the wall for that to happen. Even if you're 1-3 in your last UFC fights, only the GOAT Artem Lobov can survive that sort of onslaught of people, of, you know, losses in a row. Her only win came against Marion Renau. I think I'm saying that name right. I'm just kind of using that from memory right now. But that's been her only win in her past 5 fights. But still, you know, she's a fan favorite. I personally love Kat Zingano. If you've ever seen her on the Joe Rogan podcast, that was a great episode, and she gave such a great interview. Unlike Andy Ruiz this past couple weeks, or this past week, my God, what a fucking, oh my God, what an idiot. But, yeah, there's a reason that episode was 58 minutes, but, you know, she's a fan favorite, as I said before. She'll probably be picked up right away by Bellator, maybe Invicta. You never know. You never know with these MMA companies, who's going to pick up who, because they're actually really fighting for free agents right now. It's kind of interesting to see. Shit, sorry. Got something caught in my throat. But it's actually kind of interesting to see all these organizations kind of come up right now, because I remember, hell, even 5 years ago when, I think Scott Coker was hired 5 years ago, I do believe. But even 5 years ago, the UFC was the only show in town. You know, they had bought Pride. And they had shut it down. And they pretty much had, not a monopoly on MMA, but pretty much a monopoly on the world of mixed martial arts. And it was crazy to see now in these past 5 years, 1FC is really on the come up. Bellator is obviously on the come up. They're on, it's not Spike TV anymore, is it? Paramount Network? Is that their network, I think? Yeah. So they're on Paramount Network now, and like they let their fights be shown, or is it on DAZN that you have to pay for their pay-per-views? I don't know. But their free cards that they put out are on Paramount Network, which obviously not the best network to be on. But still, they're on TV in the greater United States. You know, most people I know can watch a Bellator card. If you have cable, I am quite certain that you can watch a Bellator card, because I have basic cable right now, and I'm pretty sure I have Paramount Network in this college dorm room. So if I can watch it, I'm pretty sure most people can watch it. And nowadays, Bellator, Invicta, obviously Invicta's not as big, but, you know, Bellator, Invicta, 1FC, Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships, excuse me, you know, PFL is on NBC Sports. These last 5 years have been so fun for MMA and the growth of MMA that we can see new organizations rise up out of the ashes. Out of the ashes of Pride. There we go. My own misquote can count for a good quote right there. Yes, there we go. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm tired right now. I don't know what's happening, man. But let's move on, since Bellator doesn't have, you know, a card this weekend. Let's go right into the main event of the evening. UFC 241 with two of possibly my most anticipated fights of the year, plus a third one that is extra spicy. Mwah! Spicy as well. So they've got three great, great fights on the card, at the top of the card at least. The rest of the card is MMA, you know. Talk about all that later, but let's talk about the top three fights right now. You know, Stipe DC, Showtime, Anthony Pettis, and Nate Diaz, and obviously Yoel Romero and Paulo Costa, the juice boys. They're definitely juicing. First one I'm going to talk about, probably my most anticipated fight, because I am a huge, like, massive Showtime Pettis fan. Like, you guys don't understand. Showtime is, like, one of my favorite fights. I remember when he was on the Wheaties box, bro. What was that, back in 2012? Like, back in the fucking day, he was on the Wheaties box. He was one of the people that got me into MMA. And I think, you know, we'll never forget that Benson Henderson kick. UFC is still posting it on their Instagram to this day. I don't think any of us are ever really going to forget the Showtime kick, especially when we keep getting reminded of it. You know, what did it happen in the W, or no, shit, what was the organization? I'm trying to think, because it wasn't Bellator, but it was the one that went over in the UFC, and they merged, and they brought the champions over. WEC, thank God. I'm trying to think. I'm like, Uriah Faber was a champion, Cruz was a champion, Showtime was a champion. I'm like, I'm just trying to think. It was WEC. So he was the WEC champion. He was the UFC champion for a time. He was on the Wheaties box, and now he's fighting Nate Diaz, coming off of his loss to Tony Ferguson. And honestly, you guys, in my humble opinion, I believe that Showtime is going to knock this fight out of the fucking park. You know why? He has been on a tear lately. He really has. I think the last time Nate fought was Conor 3 years ago. And while, you know, I don't doubt he's been training, like, well, even when he was here and fighting, he really wasn't the most dominant 155-pounder I've ever seen. And, you know, I think ring rust is going to betray him in this fight. His lack of training, or maybe lack of, I don't know, what was he doing, smoking weed? That's what I do, and I'm obviously not a UFC fighter. But, honestly, I really think that he was just a great matchup for Conor, like, or a horrible matchup for Conor. Because he is long and lanky and tall, and he can stay out of Conor's short fucking range. And he's, like, you know, he's big for his size, but he also can't go up to 170 because he can't fight there. As he's, whoops-a-daisy. As he's sort of shown when he fought Rory McDonald. So he kind of showed that. But you know what? Showtime, honestly, he has had a resurgence of late. Even with the Tony loss, which was ugly, you know, he looks back better than ever. But possibly not better than ever, because that Benson Henderson cage kick is probably the best you're ever going to see of Showtime Pettis. Like, I don't think he can get back to that level. But, you know, he has had a definite resurgence up to somewhere around that level of when he was the UFC champ. And I don't know if he can become it again or if he will become it again, but I watch all of his fights, and honestly, he's one of the greatest. So that's great.
What's up?
Oh, man. You think I was tired or something over here? Isn't like I just drove halfway across the country from California to Oklahoma. but yeah, so last time he actually fought on the same card as Stipe was 226 in Vegas. He secured a beautiful triangle choke on Michael Chiesa, and I got to witness it in its full glory, live from the nosebleeds. The other thing I got to witness that night was, unfortunately, Stipe losing to DC on a lucky punch / eye poke. Yes, 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 yes. I am one of those conspiracy theorists. I'm so sorry. I'm also a huge Stipe fan. You know, he cemented his status as probably, like, my favorite fighter with that JDS knockout. Honestly, that was, like, oh my God, you know, one of the performances of the year for me, just seeing a man maul JDS and bring him around the ring. I had seen his previous fights. I saw where he won the belt with Werdum and everything. But I just think, oh man, that JDS fight was so good. And I've been a fan of him for a little while, but I had never really considered him, you know, like my favorite fighter or anything. And he definitely cemented himself, at least for the year of 2017? Wow, this was a long time ago. I'm talking about shit that happened while I was still working at Trader Joe's. Yeah, but 2017, I believe, you know. And so, in my humble opinion, DC is a dirty fighter and I really don't like him. That's just, you know, personally, I want Stipe to take care of business. It's just what I want to happen as a fan. And I know, you know, that being said, I really want to push my personal feelings aside because I don't know who's going to win this match. I want to say in my fandom, Stipe, 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 but it's just not... That's not how the fight's going to go. And I'm not saying that Stipe's not going to win, but it's not going to be a dominant, you know, just boom, one-punch knockout or a JDS. Like, he's not going to chase him across the cage. DC actually puts pressure on people as well. And, you know, he's an elite fighter in his own right. So I don't think that's the way it's going to go. You know, DC's obviously shown that height and reach really don't matter too much to him in the striking game. And his wrestling is probably, get this, better than Stipe's. So weird that I, as a Stipe fan, will admit that, but it is probably true. I mean, Stipe has never made the Olympic team. But we all know Henry Cejudo has a gold medal, right, boys? Yes, we do. Also, incredibly, he weighs more than Stipe. DC weighs more than Stipe after his bulk up. Now, I know that Stipe is a fierce striker, one of the greatest heavyweights of all time. I dubbed him that myself when I was in the lead-up to the previous DC fight. But I really can't say for sure whether or not he's going to win. It's a toss-up for me. It's a 50-50 chance. 55-45, either side. I don't know. It's really a toss-up for me on this one. I can't really pick one that will win in my mind. But I'll talk about it later when I go through the fight picks. Let's just talk about a more fun fight. Because after all this time... Father and son are finally fighting. The USADA testing match. The Golden Snitch's wet dream. Romero Costa. Ladies and gentlemen, it is here. This is the juice match, baby, because they are both for sure on steroids. That's right, I said it here. I just confirmed it, what Jeff Nowitzki never could, that Yoel Romero and Paulo Costa are on steroids. It's just what happens. I'm a huge Romero fan. I'm a huge Costa fan. I remember last time he fought on a card with Steve. This is like 226 all over again. What the hell? But last time that Costa fought on on the main event of a card, I think it was against Uriah Hall at 226. I can't remember all of his fights for sure. I'm not looking them up right now as we speak. But yeah, Romero's coming back from that stupid loss against Whitaker at 225. Five, which I scored for Romero easily. He won that fight. Let's all be honest, ladies and gentlemen, I think that Yoel Romero won that fight. However, we're going to turn that and be like, fine with it, whatever. Whitaker's fighting Adesanya. I really wanted to see that fight anyways, so I'm glad that's happening. But, shit, this fight's going to be fun. I don't know what else to say. This is going to be a fun fucking fight. This is going to be a striking match. This is going to be pretty much no ground game, I'd imagine, unless they both go in and they're like, oh, let's use the rounds. What the fuck was that accent? unless they go in and they're like, they have a game plan of just wrestling the striker, which they're both strikers, so I feel like that game plan wouldn't work, then I feel like this is going to be one of the most exciting fights, possibly going to end in a KO, but all these fights that we see that we always say, oh, they could end in a KO or whatnot, usually don't. So that's sad, but I'm not going to jinx it by saying that, but I'm going to say it probably, like, maybe will end in a KO. Oh my god. I am yawning too much today. Why am I so tired? And then after them, it's a real strong top three. We've got sort of a who's who of fights. You know, we got Derek Brunson. I guess you could say making his return after being knocked out by Adesanya. He's fighting, I didn't write it down, but he's fighting someone that I don't exactly know. I've been out of the game for a little while now. But, so I really don't know. Then we have the typical sort of second fight on the card, filler fight, which is a featherweight match between Sadiq Yusuf and I forget the other guy's name. But, you typically see this in every pay-per-view card. They have one fight to sort of start it off really nice and really an interesting fight. And then they have a filler fight, which I don't get, but I sort of also do get from a marketing perspective. You have your filler fight and everything. So they have that going on. During the prelims, I believe a Sun Tzu is headlining the prelims. I know he's fighting on them, but I'm pretty sure, I didn't see any other names that will lead me to believe that he wouldn't be the one headlining the prelims. So, yeah, we're just going to go with the fact, we're just going to go with that he is headlining the prelims against Corey Sandhagen. And really after that, it's mostly not noteworthy unless people that are fighting on the card make it noteworthy. You know what I'm saying? So I do believe we're going to see a nice night of fights. Some may disappoint. Stipe DC and Costa Romero, I'm going to give my awards to most likely to disappoint all of us. As there could be another eye poke. You never know with DC being such a dirty fighter. Let's go John Jones, am I right, boys? There could be another eye poke, there could be just a flash knockout like what happened next time, someone's chin could give out, it could turn into an all-out wrestling match where they're just trying to go for points on each other like they're in the NCAA finals again. And then also Romero Costa, if those two try to wrestle, I will throw a rock at my TV. I'm being completely honest. Why would they do that? It will literally, this honestly feels like 226 all over again. The fights feel the same, and the anticipated heavy big hitters fight is either Pettis or Pettis Diaz or Romero Costa, and I'm going to say it's Romero Costa right now because I know Showtime is going to go out and show out. Like, I know it, and I know Nate Diaz doesn't give a fuck, so he's going to go out. But I think the Romero Costa fight, who knows what they're going to do? Are they going to go for wrestling? I hope not. But if they go for wrestling, or if one of them has back spasms like what happened last time with Derek Lewis and Francis Ngannou, then you know what? It's shit. I don't know what's going to happen, man. I'm going to throw I'm going to throw a fucking rock at my TV. God, I really don't want that to happen. But, so unless the other fighters at the bottom of the card on the UFC Fight Pass prelims, which Dana loves to sell to us, unless, you know, those fighters and the other fighters on the prelims make it interesting, it's going to be sort of an eh fight. Obviously, there are always good fights within there, but I'm not really picking them out to find them right now. I'm just kind of settling in to college and just being me. So on to my picks. I'm going to go from top to bottom. Let's go, I don't know. See, it's still a toss-up for me on Stipe and DC. I'm good after I yawn. I'm going to go Stipe, based on my fandom. Simply based on my fandom. That is it. That's the thing. The coin lands on its side, and it could fall either way, and the wind blowing it to fall on Stipe's side is my fandom for Stipe. I'll be straight up with that. Then next fight, Showtime Pettis, obviously. I said it before, I gave my prediction while I was talking about it because I couldn't hold back. Showtime is obviously going to win this fight, I believe. I believe that, he's on his resurgence. We're seeing the best Showtime that we've ever seen, and I really just can't wait. And then also, Yoel Romero, he should have won that championship fight. He should be the champ right now. I don't believe that Costa's ready for a championship fight, but who knows? He's going against a man who's one of the best in the division. 42, 43 years old, I think Romero is nowadays. So he's getting up there in age, but he is still probably one of the best strikers and wrestler. He's one of the best mixed martial artists that this division has all rolled up together in one, I would personally say. And I really can't wait to see him back in the octagon. Next fight, Sadiq Yusuf. I'm going with the nice prospect. He is 9-1 right now, and I just think, his youth and everything. I really don't know too much about him, to be completely honest, but I'm going to pick him in the fight. Next one, let's go. Yeah, let's go Derek Brunson. Why not? Let's go Derek Brunson, and with a bonus, let's give me a Sun Tzu in the prelims, please, for 500. And you know what? Thanks, guys, for listening. That's gonna be it for me today. Actually, please come back next time for the next Monday Morning Fighter podcast, and I will see you all on the flip side. Peace.